man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
This episode of the
K-Guns Last Kicker
is brought to you by
Geist Note.
You ready? We're getting the cue? This is some serious business right here.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
What are we talking about, guys? We're on the Jerry Jonestown Massacre.
We're talking about stuff. We're talking about things. We're talking about it being important. It's real, y'all. It's live. It's real. It's totally real.
Yeah, what is this?
Well, then, you know what? I hate Jerry Jonestown Massacre. They're fucking assholes.
Pussy.
And, you know, I just can't stand them, you know?
So people like this podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate Dustin and Matt and, you know.
These guys are just all like, oh, fucking chicks.
I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that. Maybe you're a little wasty face.
Fuck you. You're a goddamn communist. I'm a fucking Reagan-era fucking conservative, pussy.
What do y'all talk about?
Their name is Jerry Jonestown Massacre.
You ruined it with your conservative talk and, like, don't ban this ammunition and all this other stuff.
The churches listen to this?
Matt apparently has spaghetti in his pubes.
Spaghetti!
They're racist bigots.
You have a Muslim on your America show. I don't know how good you're going to do on the ratings there.
Oh, retards are stupid. You know, black people are going to hell.
He gets racist sometimes.
Ese pigue mente segundo.
Unlistenable liars that think retards are stupid, and I quote,
I'm gay, okay? And all I want is somebody to fucking love me.
So you're a full-blown lesbian.
You felt Justin's butt?
Feel his butt.
I already, for real, touch his butt.
Dustin, you have the cleanest pubes.
Also, they don't mention sports.
If he was in a Mortal Kombat game, his fatality would be the butt crunch.
I may be pregnant with one of y'all's babies.
I touched the butt.
It doesn't even feel. Oh my god.
All I want is somebody to fucking love me, man. I just want love and ammunition.
I'm actually just gonna pee my pants right here.
Red pants.
Fuck this podcast shit. It's stupid.
Live from the Temple of High, it's the Jerry Jonestown Massacre!
Number 249.
I guess I should change that on the show notes.
Dang it. Yeah.
I'll put 249.
It is Tuesday, February 19th, 2018. And it's rainy and cold.
Yep.
Matt, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Dustin.
Happy Tuesday, Oric.
Happy Tuesday, Dustin.
Oric, happy Tuesday, man.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Chris.
Happy Tuesday.
Whoa. He sounds creamy.
Matt, happy Tuesday.
Bigfoot, happy Tuesday, man.
Dustin, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Bigfoot.
Marlon, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Bigfoot.
Marlon's always so happy to tell Bigfoot happy
Tuesday. It's like he's so super excited.
Yeah.
Do we need to go through the rest of these?
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You want me to?
Yeah, it's like
happy
a hug.
Happy Tuesday, Stubbs.
Thank you. Happy Tuesday, Marlon.
Happy Tuesday, Dustin.
Happy Tuesday, Marlon.
Dustin.
Happy Tuesday, Becky.
Matt. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Becky.
Bigfoot. Happy Tuesday.
And then there's...
Happy Tuesday.
And then there's...
Happy Tuesday, Dustin. Happy Tuesday, Stubbs.
Rebecca. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Rebecca.
So we have Becca.
Happy Tuesday, Ulrich.
Happy Tuesday.
Oh, sorry.
Ulrich. Happy Tuesday.
Can't forget Ulrich.
So we have Rebecca giving a happy Tuesday and Rebecca giving a happy Tuesday. Those are the only two women that we have that give us happy Tuesdays.
Yeah,
and I mean that in word sense, not...
Our women don't care about this show.
No.
At all.
Uh-uh.
And...
I don't think our men care about this show.
Is there something you need to tell us, Matt?
No, hey.
Is this a show? Is this it?
The one where...
You come out?
The jump?
The one where...
I think I've done that a few times on this show.
Well, have you?
Yeah.
Or have you? I mean, you've impregnated a dumpster. But...
So, this is the first time we played Turbo Negro.
Is that okay to say?
I think we're good there, right?
Are we?
It's the name of a band.
It's Turbo Negro.
Negro.
Spanish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, yeah.
Turbo
as long as we,
Negro.
Right, right. Kind of like okay, Negro Modelo. Turbo Negro Modelo.
There you go. Now I feel way more comfortable.
Okay.
Way more comfortable.
So Negro is not the thing to say.
Whoa.
It's Negro.
Whoa.
But they're not from Spain, right? Have we...
Where are they from?
Have we crawled into a racist corner?
You have.
Okay, we have to introduce the man of the hour. Do you want to do it? You have a David Letterman style you wanted to do?
So,
or?
Yeah, here's the deal. Let's let this music die off, because, or let me just kill it.
They are
right
from Norway.
Oh, yeah, they are Norwegian.
Yeah, that's racist then.
They're not Norwegian black metal, so we can't put them on our history of...
No, they would be rock, like that scream, or black rock and roll. Black and roll is what they call it over there, I think. Kind of
so
like Kvelertak.
What you're saying is it's not turbo black metal.
Man, this is an odd conversation to just jump right into, but no, I'm not saying that.
You're not saying that?
No.
All right, so we've been getting complaints that we don't properly introduce our guest correctly.
Yeah, we just trample all
and
over
we're just
them.
Like, ugh. And sometimes we don't even introduce them because we just go.
If someone is our age and has listened to radio like we have, they know who we have on right now.
They do. So what I figured we'd start doing, or thought we'd start doing, is try doing a like a David Letterman-style intro where we say, you know, you tonight, our guest, you might have heard him in the what years?
93 to 2013, maybe?
Okay.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
So you might have heard our guest middays from 93 to 2013 on...
He used to do Nooners.
Nooners on local radio station 97.1 The Eagle.
And The Edge.
And The Edge. And you may now hear him on various commercials on the air and popping up here and there on various anime cartoons. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our guest, Chris Ryan.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you, Paul.
You're supposed to dance around. You point at Paul. You walk out. You come down.
You could do the Drew Barrymore and get up on that table and
dance.
Take your shirt off.
I'll just have a seat on the couch here.
You will? All right.
There you go.
There you go. It's comfy.
All right. Chris.
That was abrupt.
He just died.
Paul just cut it off, man.
I was like, death. Done.
We're out.
Thanks for coming over here this evening.
No
How
problem.
You doing?
It's great. I'm good.
Yeah, nasty
good.
Weather, too. I'm glad you made it, man.
Brave the weather. I told you, I have three little kids, so anything to get out of the house for a little bit.
A little break.
A little break.
So do the kids have a voice like yours? Did they come out of the womb?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey,
just ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. They're already doing, voice work.
So. You already got them working.
Yeah.
Did you?
Why not? Just build you a whole farm, a whole farm system.
They have a little voiceover studios. Yeah.
Child
this
labor.
Side.
Man, talk about weird. Have you seen that special on the guy,
the Black Mirror
FLDS leader that's in prison? It's running on. I'm serious. Sorry. Yeah, get back to your kids now. Okay.
You're talking about Warren Jeffs?
Yeah, Warren Jeffs. That thing was creepy. I watched that last night.
I haven't watched that.
He had some issues, or he still does. He's messed up.
Hmm.
Unlike Chris.
So.
And his cult of voiceover.
Cult of three kids.
Cult of three kids voiceovers. So what are their ages again?
7, 4, and 18 months.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's good.
That's amazing.
I was happy to get out of the house and make the trek over.
That's what everybody says. It's our age.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, man. I was looking forward to it.
Do you get to trek out that much anymore?
Not much. It's weird being on the road at 7 o'clock at night. It's like, this is weird. I'm never out of the house at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So to jump the gun a little bit, you do everything at the house now?
I have a studio at the house, and unless I have to go to a different studio.
To a different studio.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
With the Funimation anime stuff, that you have to go to the studio. That's maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks.
So, what, you get to drive to Irving, to Las Colinas? Is that where they are?
Flower Mound.
Oh, they're a flower mound. Okay.
So they don't let you can it and send it in. They need the real product.
You got to be there for that.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's some bigger things, you know, that they want you to come into the studio.
Yeah.
When
are you famous in Japan?
No, I don't think so. Huh?
Okay. All right, let's tap the brakes because in this anime circle,
they're hardcore.
You're pretty big, and that's a pretty hardcore.
What are you looking
fan
at?
Fan base all over the web.
Where do you see this?
when you put your name in, besides you being an SAS officer in World War II.
And I wrote books about that, yeah.
And you wrote a lot of books about that. And what? You were an Olympic marathon runner?
I don't know. I haven't seen that one.
You're a vampire.
I've seen the author that does all the...
You're a vampire too, right?
Let's see here.
I'm not wrong on
British
that.
Books.
I actually had it. You were an Australian rugby league player, a British soldier novelist.
Which is amazing. Yeah. I never understood how you could come to the radio station after you played a full day of rugby.
Yeah, it's tough. It's not easy.
An Australian rules footballer.
Yeah.
And then you became an Irish hurler.
Yeah, you're talking if you Google Chris Ryan. That's what you get. Yes. Those are all the things.
It's funny. So, no, but besides, when you get past this, the anime circle is huge.
Well, it's a big deal. I mean, the people that are into that are hardcore, and it's growing. So, yeah, I've done some shows, so my name's out there.
Yeah, and there was one page I went to, and they were just talking, raving on some of the voiceover work you did.
Send me that link.
Yeah, he needs that.
Yeah,
I mean,
I will.
I'll
send it to you.
I need something in my life.
Let's see here. I got to find where
he needs
that,
more him.
But, he needs more him in real life.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the bigger actors do these big comic, these cons.
Do you do that?
That's what
no,
I was about
I
to ask.
I don't.
Cons
I don't.
You think that's coming?
It could be.
Yeah. Well, and you've got a big one here. Dallas has that Akon every year.
Yeah, they do.
Should we get something signed by you tonight?
I don't think so.
Like an Xbox One game?
I don't think you should.
We have a dong on the fridge you could sign.
You can sign the dong.
Yeah, I'll sign the dong.
Yeah. Okay.
There we go.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
I don't think I would do the cons right now. I just, I'm intimidated by...
We went to one once.
These people know a lot more than I do about this stuff.
You have to watch out with the conversations that you get into at those places. Because if you try to be cool guy and act like you know... Yeah. You said mention Star Wars, and then they'll call you out on all this stuff and act like you're supposed to know it, and you're like, man, I don't understand your Chinese, man. Back up.
That's 2 weeks in a row you've used that.
That's my go-to when I'm confused now.
So I'm here, and it says Hope Chris gets more voice work. He's one talented voice actor. He's great as Jinjiro Samanui.
Sure.
Horace Hubbard. Dark Ninja and Tadomi Karasuma.
You play a ninja?
And my mom wrote that?
This is someone this is a username by the name of Bat Cool. And then below this, you have...
Where are you getting this?
Your voice is unbelievable in Assassination Classroom. You're awesome.
Huh, I need to check that out.
It's
Thank
right
you.
Here.
We I feel got
the,
good.
It, the link is in the deal. The anime
Oh, is that
link.
The anime link?
Yeah.
Let me see here. The anime
but yeah, work. you got It's got some creds in the anime world.
Well, it's probably the most fun thing that I get to do.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It's a lot of fun. So,
how does it work? Are you watching the imagery? Or are you watching the show as it goes on? And
Chris,
how does that all work?
Where's your cough button?
Yeah, we don't have a cough button.
We don't have a cough button.
Yeah.
No.
Or fart.
Yeah.
so you watch your little scene, and then you have your lines, and you'll hear these three beeps, and on that what would be the imaginary fourth beep, you start your English dub of the line that he just gave in Spanish or she just gave, and
then
they try to fit it in there, and they have to work with the flaps that are there. So it's a lot of engineering work.
Do you have to edit it?
No, I don't do anything. I just
good lord, that
are editing. You trying to time it with the flaps, or you let them do that?
Well, they can compress it a little bit and try to make it fit, but you got to be really close.
You do
time the flaps,
And I'm really not that good at it. I'm sure the engineers that work with me are like, oh, Jesus.
Is it one of those things like, because I've watched a lot of behind the scenes of like Archer and the way all the voice actors go in and they got to give 40 different versions of one line in different emotional states. Like,
yeah, we don't have to do that. Are they all in a room together? We don't do that.
No, they do it one-on-one.
Yeah.
Or mono, like just one at a time.
Yeah.
So the anime shows generally 30 minutes, or is it an hour? The programs, like, how many lines are you doing in one session?
Well, it depends on how big of a character you have. I mean, there are times that I go in and I'm man 3A.
Wow.
You know, that goes, yeah, you know, you're done. Thank you. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
But there's sometimes when you have a big part that, you know,
you're going to be there a while.
You might be there a couple hours, or, I mean, there's some of the folks that do a lot more than me that are there four or 5 hours a day, which.
Yeah.
Do you know the character you're playing, or do they just tell you, just read this line and.
Usually I get called in by my agent and I show up and they go, okay, this is the guy you're playing, and they'll show me a picture and. We'll kind of check it out and decide where it needs to be.
On the whim? Or do you give it a few days?
Bit. It's a few minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. And I really only have one. I mean, some of those anime guys can do a bunch of different characters, and I just haven't gotten that far yet. So I can do, you know, serious guy or happy guy, but that's about it.
So you don't have like a pocket full of impressions?
Right. No, there's some guys that can do stuff, and you're like, oh, man, I should just quit.
So if you go in and you've had a bad day, like if you're just not, say the baby kept you up all night, you just got to bear with it.
Yeah.
Buckle down and do it. You go smoke a J or something and come back in and be like, okay, let's do this.
No. Or the worst coffee. Thing, the hardest thing is there's a lot of fighting and yelling in these. And if my voice is kind of like it is today, where it's just kind of half ass.
Yeah.
And I'm yelling. Yeah, it can get. Strenuous.
You realize your half ass is our A game.
Yeah.
All our phlegm.
Yeah. We're always full of phlegm or nasally.
We were here an hour before you showed up just going, because we wanted to sing half cool.
That's what we do before. Before every show, we spend about an hour drinking water and going through our scales.
Yeah.
Bring it up and down.
Sounds great.
All right. So. Did you happen to see the Fergie's National Anthem?
You know what?
Watch any of that?
I've just seen the headlines, and I don't want to watch it just because.
We were jamming, and he made me listen to it.
Is it that bad?
Well, a friend of mine sent it to us. Chris Johnson sent it over to me and was like, this just happened, and with a link to the video. So I had to watch it.
Then you made us all watch it.
And, well, y'all were there with me, so I was like, let's all watch it at once. And I turned to Josh, who was with us, and went, he's a
Veteran. Yeah, he's an Air Force veteran, our drummer.
I asked him, is this offensive to you?
What'd he say?
No, because she's hot.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
What about Treb? Have you talked to him or any of your other buddies that fought in wars?
They've all said the same thing. It's all right.
At least she's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah, well, she's getting hell from it. Like, a lot of people are way offended.
Should.
Man, there's been worse. Remember when Stevie Ray Vaughan was coked out of his mind and played the national anthem? It was a start or a Astros game.
I was waiting for her to take her clothes off. That was the sexiest, most sultry version of the national anthem. It was Marilyn Monroe singing Happy Birthday to JFK.
It was the exact same thing. So you were hoping there would be a malfunction?
No, I was listening to that. If you don't watch the video, you expect to see her start like, you know, lowering
she was pitchy. I thought the beginning of it, she was kind of sound like a wounded cat.
And she made up words.
Yeah.
There's a lot of made up words and through the whole thing.
Do you make up words when you do anime?
No.
Like, that's what she did that at the beginning of it.
Well, do you have it? Can you play it?
Yeah, we can play it.
I can pull it up here.
If we're going to talk about it, I need to hear.
It starts. It rounds off. I think it starts off pretty sketch, though.
Let me pull it up.
I mean, here's the question. I just read the headline. Now, obviously, she did like a sexy version of it. If she had done a sexy version, but it was good, would that have been okay? Or just
I didn't have
is
a,
that off limits?
I didn't have a problem with it really. I was surprised by the
performance,
but like my dad would be offended.
Yeah.
Just because of the sexiness, my dad. My dad is, or I should say, he's borderline racist when it comes to the national anthem. He does not like, you know how a lot of those guys will sing it and they'll roll their voice and stuff? Like, they'll sing it like a gospel version of it. My dad didn't like that. He thinks it needs to be, and he's a military guy. He says it needs to be straightforward.
Yeah.
Oh, see. That type. Like, so, you got it?
Yeah, this one's loading weird.
Hold on, is it? Are we going to get a commercial?
Well, but then, it already did the commercial.
But then sometimes I've heard national anthems that were done by some New Orleans artist and stuff that is amazing.
Yeah, that's my question. I mean, is it the performance or is it what she was doing? I mean, if you're going to do that, but you do it good, is it okay? I don't know.
And this isn't the first time she's done it. She's done it at regular season games. She did it at a...
Same way?
Miami, New England. No, she did it straight. Normal. But it's one of those things, like, why didn't somebody maybe say, hey, Fergie, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, it was...
Normal here.
I don't know.
This ad's loading weird. Hold on just a second.
What about... Okay, so where do you draw the line then? What about Roseanne when she did it?
Well, even Roseanne came out and said that...
That was shtick.
No, Fergie's version was worse than hers.
She did?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I saw that.
All right, let's see here. Here you go. An acclaimed singer,
songwriter, what's up with his voice?
And eight-time Grammy Award winner from Hacienda Heights, California, Fergie.
Already jazzy.
By the dawn's early light, what so proudly wave at the twilight's last.
Go ahead, come in on this.
Okay, well, I think the problem is, I like the jazzy drum beat. It's her performance that's just bad. She's trying way too hard, I think.
Yeah,
she does. And what's funny is when you watch the video is all the players are in their starting lineup and they cut to them and the players are like, what is going on? And they're trying to hold back laughing. And then they cut to
like Jimmy Kimmel or something.
Ashton Kutcher's going to come out.
They cut to fans in the crowd and they're kind of laughing. And then they cut to Kimmel and Kimmel is there just smirking like, I have gold. Thank you.
There's something very Saturday Night Live skit type sound going at the beginning of it. That first, where she goes, ah! Like, you could see that being on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, it seems.
Through the night.
What offends me most about this is that the California flag is higher than the U.S. flag. That's disrespectful.
Like, it wasn't just the angle. Because you were bitching about that the other night.
Angle.
It was the angle? Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if California started doing that, though. Just gave the bird to the rest of the country and started raising their flag over the U.S. flag. Rebecca, you Californians. What are you, French or something?
So, she can hold that note. That's good. I hate what she says here at the end.
What does she say? No collusion?
Here we go.
It's very, very...
This is dumb.
Very good.
Just say brave. Here you go.
Let's play some basketball!
Yeah.
Let's get it started in here.
That wasn't needed.
Yeah, no. That was not needed.
That was not needed.
Everybody knows why they're there.
Yeah. We're there to play some basketball. We don't need anything else. Oh, yeah, that was...
It got feathers ruffled.
It was funny after we were done next door at the lighthouse.
Yeah.
Came back over here and watching basically the world burn down as everybody was attacking it on social media.
Did he tweet?
I don't think he did.
It's a very, very beautiful, very beautiful, I must say.
I don't think he did.
Huh?
I'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know about all that.
I think he tweeting less now? Is he starting to back off to where he's not tweeting on everything that happens in pop culture?
Who was it that put out the other day that told the entire world to ignore his tweets? They sent like a message to all world leaders, please ignore Trump's tweets.
Yeah, I read a little bit about that.
I forgot who sent that out. It's pretty funny.
Like the president of Canada?
No, it was someone within his cabinet, wasn't
it?
Oh, it was?
I think they were at a meetings or something in Europe, and he was basically saying, let's not read too much into those.
That's got to be
Chris, what do you think about living in a world where Trump is president?
Oh, it's surreal, isn't it?
Things have been weird.
Yeah, it has
for
been.
A year, and it's not that I'm, you know, whatever my politics are, doesn't matter. It's been weird.
It's very weird. We kind of hoped for it leading up to it.
Until it happened,
because we were like, this will be gold. Every week we'll have gold. Yeah. And now it's kind of like, I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
And let's do something else now, and let's get serious again.
It is exhausting.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
Every day there's just some craziness.
Yeah.
I like when you didn't hear from the president for a few days, and you're like, is he still? Yeah. Okay, he's still good.
Yeah, I don't
not
know.
Not now.
No.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
I'm kind of done with it all.
I don't know. We were having the exact conversation before you came here, and there is some weird stuff going on. Like, it's every day. It's just weird. It's weird. It's surreal still. It's like a dream. And I think he's done a fairly good job as a president. Like, he's kind of done everything he said he's going to do. It's just all the extra baggage that's come with it.
Drama.
Drama.
Yeah.
A lot of drama.
Yeah, did you see a couple of weeks ago that Stormy Daniels on Kimmel, and they brought the doll out, and they're talking about sexual relations with the president with the doll?
So
and it's like, this is so wacky.
That was the weirdest interview I think I've ever seen in my life.
And they're talking about the leader of our country.
Of the free world.
Don't say that around Adam Curry. He doesn't like that.
Oh, sorry.
He says it's not true. Because he's, was he, Dutch? Mm-hmm. Did you ever meet Adam Curry?
Who's that?
Remember, he was the MTV VJ.
Headbangers
he lives
Ball.
Down in Austin.
Oh, yeah. He has the long hair. He had the mullet. Yeah.
He lives down in Austin now.
Well, how do you know what he thinks about politics?
He does a podcast.
He does
twice
a podcast,
a week.
And I'm addicted to it. He does it with John C. Dvorak.
He used to wear that leather jacket and that blonde hair. Yeah.
Yeah. He did Headbangers Ball for a while.
He lives down in Austin. He does a podcast twice a week called No Agenda. And it's not really, it's a political podcast, but
it's media.
They dissect the media.
It's like a deconstruction of the media.
And they deconstruct it. It's pretty interesting listening
to check it out.
How people change words
and they get labeled as Trumpers, I guess, but they're not. They're just pointing out that what the crap that mainstream media does to you and what how they present things. Mm-hmm. That's the crust of the show. And then they talk about world politics as well. So it's cool.
That segment of the show paid for by No Agenda.
Yeah.
It's like we just did a radio ad for them.
We always do that.
It's a...
Ticket.
It's weird. It's audio product placement.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange.
Yeah. Shoo. Shoo.
Oh. Yeah. All right, so...
Do you listen to podcasts, Chris?
I don't.
Yeah, no one does. I didn't until about a year ago.
You wanted
he made
to
me
start
listen to
one.
He made me listen to Last Podcast on the Left on the way home from Austin.
That's the first hungover, podcast you've ever listened to.
And he took me to the Branch Davidian Cult, like their camp, their grounds.
To sign up? Oh.
Yeah.
I took him to Mount Carmel.
And tell him what you made me listen to.
The last...
Audio footage of the Jonestown Massacre.
The Jonestown Massacre. We listened to the last audio.
It's very confusing that you do that at
driving
Carmel.
Up to there.
Yeah. It made my cult brain go crazy.
We started up, say, around Temple, and as we started getting into Waco, I was like...
That freaked Matt out.
You want to go over here and see where David Koresh burned himself alive? And Matt's like, yeah, man, I've always wanted to go there. I need to stamp that on my passport, and I've been there.
My cult passport.
On your cult passport. You had to check that off. So we went over there, and then Matt got scared to get out of the car.
And you just happened to have the audio from Jamestown?
The cassette? Another podcast was playing it, and they said that they played all of it.
It's eerie.
And it's
I've
weird.
Heard it. Yeah,
yeah.
That is very
It wasn't
strange.
Fun.
Come on, don't be shy. Come on.
And you hear the babies, the kids crying.
Boy. And then what's weird is you start.
And then we went to a party, a Labor Day party.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, what's wrong with you, Matt? And I was like, oh, no, Adderall's just wearing off. I just don't want to be here.
But that audio is super strange because you've got people starting to revolt and starting to be like, I don't want to do this. And he's like, no, you're going to do it. And he has his guards and stuff, like, forcing him. And you're like,
please keep your kids calm. Please keep your kids calm. And you're like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. And then it gets quieter.
Feed your
and
kids.
Quieter,
and
quieter and quieter and quieter. And then about that time, we rolled into the compound of the Branch Davidians. I'm like, wow, thanks, Dustin.
And like a stone's throw from there is the massive Austin water slide with the
oh yeah,
like a block lazy over. River and the wakeboard.
Did y'all go
place.
There?
We drove by it.
It was raining.
Yeah, it was raining. We had to get back for that.
Our date
Labor
was
Day
over.
Party or whatever it was.
What party our was that? Was over. It was Seth's Labor Day party, and all the girls were there, and they're all ah, and I was not feeling it. And
we
I think I
like
went home after
ass.
30 minutes.
Because we, yeah.
We're at Mohawks in Austin. You ever gone and seen a show down there?
No.
It's my favorite venue down there. And we saw Dillinger Escape Plan. So we were all sweaty, beat up. And then we went to a strip club afterward, the Yellow Rose.
Still sweaty and beat up.
Had duck tacos at about 5 o'clock in the morning.
So we showed up at this party smelling like onions.
Strippers.
Hair all oily. Glitter.
Depressed.
Our underwear on backwards.
Wow.
And yeah, it was pretty bad.
Mm.
Yeah.
I've never walked into a house and my wife goes, wow, y'all have gone through it.
Yeah.
Like that was the first time.
That's
ever.
What, when Brittany saw me, she was just like, oh no.
And I thought we looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd at least changed my clothes.
Yeah. I stayed for about 20 minutes. But so you got this Gibson story. How true is the, we're talking about the guitar, Gibson. Are they really about to be done?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, full on? Because I know they've gone downhill
bankruptcy.
Because they're like, basically, they've turned into Walmart. Like that new series that they have out now, is it called the Traditional? That replaced the studio Gibson Les Pauls?
Sure.
Are basically Walmart guitars is what everybody tells me. It's like, they're mass producing them. They're trying to get
you
into electronics.
Guitar, huh? You play guitar.
I do.
I play bass.
Chris plays guitar.
Yeah.
In a band called Meat Hammer.
Meat Hammer.
You need to get Meat Hammer back together. You need two guys?
I think if Meat Hammer does something, it would be different. It would be different. It'd probably be more electronic.
Yeah, that's what he wants to do.
If you want to talk about guitars, I think that's the problem with the guitars is that what kid plays a guitar these days?
It's true.
That is true. And guitar-based stuff is disappearing.
Yeah. And the thing that's crazy, it's so much easier to learn now because you have YouTube, Google, you have Rocksmith, you have all these avenues of learning. That's why when you go to guitar shows, you'll see like 8-year-olds just wailing. Mm-hmm. But it just doesn't pick up. How many guitar players do you know at high school right now?
There's one kid that always walks around with his stuff.
Does
guitar.
He play? Oh, he does?
Yeah.
So there is one.
Does
there.
He actually play it, or is he just walking around being like, check me out?
I don't know if
out.
It's a fashion statement or not, but I always see him around.
Are you sure there's a guitar in there?
Could be.
No, it's like full on. I saw it today. It was
okay.
Red. Mm.
Yeah.
But you're right. The everybody's kind of getting done with it. They're just sampling stuff and Logic and just meh.
Well, this year is the first year Gibson wasn't at NAMM. They
I heard
went
about
to
that.
E3. And because they want to get into the more consumer electronics marketplace to try to save themselves. And so they're putting out Bluetooth speakers and stereo systems and crap.
Is it still called Gibson, their electronics, or is it called something else?
From what I was told, it's called Gibson Electronics Division or something like that. But the thing at E3 was they weren't in the main convention center. They were in a tent outside.
Yeah.
And the first day of E3... they had a power issue, and so no one could go in the convention center, so everybody hung out in the tent, and they went crazy making deals and selling to merchandisers because of that. Hmm. That kind of helped them out, is all the reports I heard. But
I swear I saw a news report not 6 months ago saying that, like, it had to do with Trump. They were saying that Trump had acknowledged Gibson as one of this great companies, American companies, that is leading the charge, and they were doing great. I promise that was probably not 6 months ago.
Maybe Trump has the reverse
Trump,
golden touch.
I like the Gibson Slash. He played Gibsons.
Well, yeah,
well,
they're
Trump
saying
is terrible, isn't it? It's not good.
No, actually, it's not bad.
His is better. Do yours real quick.
Let's hear yours, Dustin.
Come on,
you gotta put me on
talk
the
back. You do it more.
You know,
on the back
I like to. I can't
you're not in your Trump mode.
Hold on. I gotta get into it. It just happens.
No, you gotta say beautiful, the greatest and the beautiful, most beautiful.
You gotta be careful not
most beautiful guitar that I have is a Gibson.
I really love my Gibson. I love my Gibson guitar.
It's the greatest.
Yeah.
It's the greatest.
That wasn't your best, greatest. Though.
No,
his, you, when he's, you're putting when me he's on the spot. On, when he's on, he's on. His trump is awesome.
Let me get a little more of this Irish whiskey. it'll come out. It'll come out.
So they're legitimately facing
bankruptcy. Yeah, they're saying within the next month they could be done, which they'll probably be bought out by, Fender, because Fender's buying everybody.
Yeah.
Fender owns everybody now.
And, yeah,
or whoever their mother company is. So I didn't know Jackson.
I bought a Fender this week. Chevelle.
You did?
Yeah.
A Squire?
Yeah. I couldn't. Everyone's going to kick me in the balls when I see him. But
what country was it made in?
It was probably Indonesia or somewhere around those parts.
In a shithole country.
So you bought a guitar that's a sweatshop guitar.
Probably. But it was $115 and had a humbucker in it.
What are you doing with this guitar?
Just doodling around. Yeah, fiddling around, man. A little get fiddle action at the house.
It's not my metal guitar. These poor kids are dying. How many kids probably died making that guitar?
It's a family guitar.
It's a family guitar. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Thank you.
For y'all's pleasure.
Yeah. It's for me to become a more proficient blues player.
And for me to become a rock star.
I want to start sounding like Mike McCready.
Listen.
And Slash. And that's why I bought it. And none of Mike McCready started on one.
Okay.
Do the Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay. Okay. I need to load that in the sampler.
Yeah.
We just have it. Oh, good.
Always
Lord.
Wanted a Les Paul. I never had one.
You never got one from mm-mm. one of the rock stars that came up to the station?
No, I wanted like a good one.
Like a custom?
One of those white ones?
Yeah.
They didn't have one in the prize closet you could just go snag?
No.
There was some cool stuff in the prize closet.
Every station has a cool prize closet.
Yeah, there was stuff in there.
You know that CD case that y'all keep breaking into of mine?
Did you bring it?
The majority of that is from the prize closet.
You keep saying that's all
it's
from the station.
It's not mine.
Lying
you
ass.
Keep saying this is all yours.
Weren't
There's
they
so
always
many...
giving, weren't they, there was always CDs being given to you up there, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see? That whole case
Here's
is
the
all...
problem, Chris.
You still
here's
have CDs, though? That's what's shocking to me.
But here's the problem is that 50% of these are burnt. Like, they are CDR copies that he put
Roach.
Together.
I was making copies for my friends. I was making copies for my friends. They were like, oh, you got the new...
You wanted to give them the original,
Korn?
So you kept the copy?
Yeah. So I was... No, I hadn't given it to them yet as a present.
The problem is this is like a Korn mixtape of like five albums.
Hey, I had friends that were into Korn and Stained.
And Papa Roach.
Papa Roach. And
was the one you
Breaking
the
Benjamin.
Really bad? No, there's no Breaking
Taproot?
Benjamin in there.
Bullshit.
There is Taproot. And Creed. I did find some Creed.
Stained.
I got Creed from my wife at the time. It wasn't for me.
That's okay.
It wasn't me.
So at the time, you were driving from the station, which was in Dallas.
To Denton.
To your house in Denton.
Right, just jamming Creed.
Whoa! What's that? That's a 30-minute drive. You made it three quarters of the way through that album.
I just heard the news today.
Tears trickling down. You're like, I just had my daughter in this song.
No, we didn't have a kid yet.
Oh, you hadn't? No. One day I'll have a daughter. This song will touch my heart.
Creed.
So, okay, so now we're shitting on music.
Now let's talk about Chris Ryan.
Chris, let's go this route. Did you enjoy the music you had to play up there?
Well, most of it I did.
Most of it you
most
did?
Most of it I did.
Okay. But so, did you get beat down by it, having to play a constant rotation of the same stuff? Or,
yeah, you do. I mean,
you're nooner. You got to get away.
With a little bit.
You got to get away with a little bit. But,
I mean, I looked at my job as not so much what the songs were, as the entertainment I could do between those songs. So... I mean, I couldn't change the format really,
yeah.
but I could do what I could do in my little amount of time. So that's the way I looked at it.
The art of the DJ.
How much time were you up there working, and did it finally come to where you could do it from home?
Yeah, I did it from home for a few years, right at the end, yeah.
Right at the end? And when you do it from home, you're not even listening to music anymore, right?
No, I would just do the voice tracks, yeah.
In and out. So, and how does that work? Are you given a track list and you're like, okay, I got to come out of this Creed song into a Power Man 5000 song or something? Or
the computer program that I had would have the last 30 seconds of the song and then the first 30 seconds of the next song. So I could talk over the outro and talk over the intro if I wanted to.
And you could hit your post perfectly.
Yeah, and I could
that.
Move them. Yeah, I could, because I move the tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
So, what was that program? Was it Logic or
no,
Pro Tools or Inco?
It's a radio program.
All these years, I thought you were pure genius.
Well, that was just the last. You weren't even listening at that point.
So let's talk about
the 90s were the golden age.
So we were talking about this the other day. I don't know who told me this or where I heard this, but I heard that the way you got introduced to broadcast radio was you worked at a Dairy Queen in East Texas, and a PD rolled through the drive-thru and was like, "You've got a great voice. You're going to work at my radio station." Is that how it happened?
Totally true.
Is
really?
It?
That's it, yeah.
That's badass.
And that was in Gilmer, or was it in
Gilmer, Texas, at a Dairy Queen. And this guy came in with he had an earring in, and he had out of state plates. And he kept looking at me, and I thought, I was in high school. I thought, this guy wants to fight
or have sex.
Yeah, or have sex. I didn't think
was it. So he came in from the drive. You talked to him on the drive.
No, I went drive through. He came inside. He ordered some chili dogs, so I went back to make them. And I'm thinking, oh man, this guy, what's his fucking problem? And so I give them to him, and he leaves. And he walks right back in. And he goes, "Hey man, you got a great voice. You should come up to Mount Pleasant. We'll put you on the radio." And I was like, "Okay." And he left, and school wasn't going too good for me, so I was like, "Maybe I should make a drive to Mount Pleasant." 19, so it was just out of high school.
Yeah, Mount Pleasant's podunk too.
Yeah, it is. This radio station was on the side. This is.
Did it cover
this
Palestine?
Is so much nicer than that place.
Oh, really?
Really?
No, Mount Pleasant's north.
Well, there was that radio station. Was it how? Do you know how long wave it was? Was it long enough to get to Palestine? Because I might have listened to you in Palestine too. Because there was a rock station that actually it was more top 40, but they played. They had a rock night, a couple of nights a week.
Maybe, yeah. It was big.
So that really happened.
That really happened, yeah.
Wow, that sounds like a movie.
How long were you there?
And I was in the parking lot, and it was raining, kind of like tonight, and I was in the parking lot of the radio station, and before I walked in, I thought, I don't even know this guy's name. I don't even know if he works here. That could have been a joke.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I'm here. So I'm walking in, and I walk in, and he walks in, and he goes, "Hey, Dairy Queen guy." And
he's like, they gave me
a job, yeah.
And that's where it all started, huh?
Yeah, and I was running syndicated programs. I wasn't on the air at the beginning.
And you were already interested in music. And
yeah,
bands
I love
and
music,
stuff,
yeah.
But never wanting to be a broadcaster. Was that
I just
in
hadn't
mind,
thought about
or?
It?
He was
the thought of how you get on the radio.
He was making chili dogs, dude. Yeah. He just hadn't. Yeah. Hadn't got
I was the night manager, radar. So things were.
Oh,
pretty
you
hopping
were moving
at
up.
Dairy. Yeah, I had the combination, the safe, and everything at Dairy.
You ever kind of think about, well, maybe,
what could have been?
Stayed there for
yeah.
Day, I mean.
Yeah. So when it was nights out, or lights out at Dairy Queen, hooking up with some coworkers, and
mainly we would just drink in the parking lot, and with those wax cups, if you put liquor in them, they would melt. So you had to be careful.
Yes, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. Yes,
yeah. Good so times. That's a true story. That
true
floors
story.
Me, man.
Yeah.
So how long were you at Mount Pleasant?
9 months. They got. They went into foreclosure. The bank took over, and it was really
like that
weird.
Same guy with the earrings. Like, hey, can we borrow? Can I borrow some money?
I went from never being in radio to doing mornings in 9 months.
Like drive time, AM drive time.
Yeah. And I went into the guy in charge from the bank, and I said, "Yeah, I'm doing mornings now." And I think I was making $4.25 an hour. And I said, "You think I can get a raise?" And he goes, "I'll give you a quarter an hour raise." And that's when I said, "I'm out of here." So I left.
So what'd you do after that?
I went to Tyler. Yeah, I went to Tyler and worked for a couple of years, and then to The Edge in 93.
And that's when it got real.
That's when it got awesome.
Okay, yeah. When did The Edge fire up?
89, 88, or 89.
That was about when it was, okay.
And what your start there was at, was it overnights?
No, I was the imaging and all the commercials, and then I did weekend on the
air. Oh, you did their imaging?
Yeah.
And you're, 21 years old then? Or
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you design any of these Tales from the Edge?
No, I didn't have it.
Didn't
George Gamark did all of that.
He did all that?
Yeah.
And the set list of, or the track listing of Tales from the Edge, that was all George?
Yeah, George, I think he put all that stuff together. Yeah. Yeah.
So just in you talking now, you've discussed about three different responsibilities at the radio station. You've probably worked every department and position in radio. What was your most enjoyable one? Like, did you enjoy being PD, or did you like it when you were just, DJing it up, or what was your favorite gig?
I mean, you can always look back and it always seems rosier, but yeah, I liked when I was just on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably in the '90s when I just did middays.
Yeah.
You could just focus on that. You know,
you had a sweet shift too.
what, 10 to 3? Yeah.
That's a great shift.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Get up late, a little late, roll in, do your stuff. Then you have the afternoon to do any chores you need to do.
Yeah.
And golf. Then you can roll out at night, hang out.
Yeah.
Sleep in a little bit, start the next day.
It was good.
That's a great.
It was good.
Was funny because when I did the interning, the first thing I did was remember Mikey in the morning.
So you were there when Mikey was there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had to come in, and it was my first day on the internship. And I come in at like 6 in the morning, just all like hungover. I was like, oh, do I really want to do this? This is that another. Boobs, just they straight brought in a limo from the strip club, and like at 6:30 or 7 in the morning, I'm just watching this party go down because they did this. Remember Free Beer Friday?
That's right, yeah.
They did this Free Beer Friday thing. Well, they had to clean all that stuff up before he came in at 10, and did this. It started his show right there. But I was like, get to come here and look at boobs for my internship, like. And Chloe was the one that was signing up and all my stuff. Remember him?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this whole radio thing ain't bad. So, but it was cool.
Now, Matt has like dozens of stories of where he's talked about banging chicks up against the board and everything.
What?
On the board. We're wondering if that was true.
I never saw Matt.
By what, another
never
dude?
Saw Matt.
They didn't let me in.
Matt near the board.
I would get I would get around 3 feet, and they'd start getting nervous. Like Nikki would, and everybody would be like, oh, keep him over there. He looks like he spills stuff. He looks like he drools.
And he looks like.
I think I had blue hair too when I started there. Because that was
you
the
had
stead,
blue that's hair when, and Steadfast.
That's when Steadfast was gonna make it. We were gonna come on We were coming on the edges of Drowning Pool. We were gonna take over the world.
That's another thing. Is Matt says the only reason he worked there as an internship was to give you all Steadfast CDs so you played on the air.
There were stickers everywhere.
Oh, he got it. Yeah. I like Chris.
Did you go see him?
Yeah, I saw one gig. It was
probably the local show we got to play.
It was very Memorial, huh? Like
it was in Denton.
Oh, yeah? Oh, that was the one we played with.
Yeah, it was Cool Beans,
feds,
right?
The Feds and Element 80. Oh, no, yeah, no, you're no, right. No. The rooftop show.
Yeah, you didn't play with it. It wasn't the Feds.
Yeah.
The Fed show that I saw you at was at Andy's.
No, I remember what you're talking about. You had a promotion across the street.
Yeah,
and came over and had a beer and watched us on the roof of Cool Beans.
That's right.
That was awesome.
I was at that show.
And for some reason, we had an alarm.
It was like U2 when they were on the roof. Yeah, that. Just like that.
That's exactly
but
what it was.
U2's a good band.
Yeah.
And yeah. Just like me banging all those chicks at the radio station.
That's all he talked about was banging all these chicks.
Not that I know. I don't know.
No.
He'd chloroform them and drag them into the prize closet. This was way before
Me Too.
Me Too so.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't have to worry about any of that. This was the fun time of the 90s.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. Nothing. That didn't beat you down. The music never beat you down. Did
no.
you?
I mean, there were some songs that I didn't care for that much, but I trusted that the people in charge were doing what they thought people wanted to hear to get the ratings to keep us on the air. So
Did you ever have to deal with any bands?
Yeah.
You did?
What do you mean?
Like coming through there, in that time frame?
Interviews and stuff?
Interviews?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Anyone beat you down there?
There are people that I think if you're a fan of a band and in your head you have an idea what you think these people are like.
And then you actually meet them.
And then you actually meet them and they're not that they're assholes or anything, but they're just not what you thought. And so it's a bit of a letdown.
Because they're just regular people.
They are. And maybe they're having a bad day.
Yeah,
and
George Tate.
And they don't want to do this interview.
Or Jeff Tate.
Is Jeff Tate a jerk?
Jeff Tate, yeah. He didn't like me. Corey Taylor didn't like me either.
That's the one you keep bringing up is Corey Taylor.
Yeah.
You do
me and him had some words. So what was your coolest interview that you did?
I don't know. I mean, I was always a fan of Motley Crue in the 80s, so Nikki Sixx was a cool guy.
Nikki Sixx. I've met
we
Nikki
just talked
Sixx
about Nikki Sixx
out and about when I was out in California one trip, just at random, early in the morning. Long story short, my best friend at the time lived across the street from Kat Von D.
Mm-hmm.
He was dating her at the time. We went to get on the elevator at the same time. And I was like, holy shit, you're the reason I played bass.
Yeah.
And we talked and walked down Sunset talking. And he was cool as hell. Yeah. Yeah. Down to earth, very cool dude.
We had another buddy that said that he played golf once with Terry Bradshaw, Nikki Six, or not Nikki Six, Tommy Lee, and Nikki Six?
Yeah, you said both of them were there.
Yeah.
I don't see them playing golf.
That's a weird foursome,
yeah,
isn't it?
That seems weird.
It was out at the Cowboys golf course. Huh. He said it was weird. He said the biggest jerk was Terry Bradshaw.
Huh. Nikki was awesome. Nikki was great.
Yeah.
But Vince Neil, I think he was having a bad day when I interviewed him. So he was one of those that you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw you do a few interviews.
Who did I interview?
I came in one time. You were doing a phoner with Perry Farrell, and he was like out in the ocean, and it was wild. Like he was stoned,
like swimming
or something.
Yeah, he's just doing the backstroke. I think he was.
I need you to call 911. Well, first we got to do this interview.
I think it was a yacht.
There's a goddamn shark next to me,
and that was wild. And then I think at BFD or Ozfest, I was there when Phil came up, and he was gone, and he was talking about how he's the magic man and stuff.
Phil Pantera?
Yeah, Phil Pantera. He was there. That was a weird one. What's your strangest interview you've ever done?
I don't know. I can't. A lot of them were strange.
Yeah.
I can't think. Nothing comes to mind that was overly strange. Yeah.
Has anybody blown your mind that you're just like, oh, my God, I get to talk to this person?
Well, I mean, Nikki Six probably would have been. A lot of those 80s bands would have been. Metallica.
You met those guys?
Yeah. And
that's Ulrich's favorite band.
He's wearing the hoodie.
He's wearing the shirt.
Yeah. Did you meet the whole band? Was that Newstead days?
I don't remember. No, it was Trujillo. Is that
Trujillo?
His? Yeah. He was there. They were really great guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really down to earth.
Yeah. That's cool.
Matt hates them.
Me?
What?
I don't hate them.
I'm just throwing you under the bus just for the hell of it.
Just like, yeah. Just I like, banged him in the radio station. Me and Hetfield.
Up against the board.
Yeah.
So, Matt, who did you meet at the radio station that you thought was really cool? Obviously,
that I thought
Corey
was really
Taylor.
Cool. Corey Taylor, it didn't go well with him. He said he yelled at one of the other interns. He was like, I called her a cunt or something and get the fuck out of the way of the door. And me and him kind of had some words. And I was like,
was he wearing his
mask?
I
should probably leave. No, he was doing the Stone Sour thing.
Oh.
And so he came in with he came in with an acoustic, and he was trying to get in the main studio, and it was awkward.
Well, I'll tell you a story about what's the other band he's in with the mask?
Slipknot. Yeah.
Before, I didn't know who they were. They were opening one of the Eagles rock shows. Yeah. You know, sometimes you get these new bands that will just open. They're on tour with the other bigger bands, mm-hmm. and they were just starting out. And Cindy Skull was interviewing them, and we didn't know anything about them, but they're wearing the mask. And all of a sudden, they started throwing chairs, and it just went nuts quick. And I'm like, "What? Who is this band? What is going on?"
Yeah,
Cindy did great with it, but
I was there one year when we were at that corner at Starplex, by the vending and all that. Right back there in that corner, we were set up there, and the clown dude came out, and he was taking pictures with all the fans and stuff, but. You couldn't. He had to have his hat down over his head. Like he didn't want to be disguised, and he had his own security out there getting the cameras and stuff.
Really?
No. Yeah. So, and then I remember,
was that a BFD?
It was one of those. I think it was Ozfest. They never really did BFD, did they?
They did one year,
maybe,
because that's the year it might have rained like crazy, and it was like Megadeth,
the Monsoon,
and Static X, and Machine Head, and Slipknot,
Down.
And Seth got thrown out for rushing the stage.
Maybe
there's
it might have been that
about
one.
All that. You can ask him about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you had a big role in the BFDs and the Freakers Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Those concert events, what was that like putting those things together, cuz those were pretty cool shows.
Yeah, they were pretty easy because usually the promoter would put them together. You just kind of put together a wish list of bands you'd like to get.
Were you involved in that?
Well, when I was program director, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And so you put together your list, and they would say, let's see what we can do. And they would try to put together a package that worked for the station. So
can we send you a wish list?
Yeah, that'd be right.
Shows for us?
That Turbo band?
Yeah.
So the... What... What would you say one of your best shows out there was that, between the BFD and the Freakers Ball and the Ozfest? Because they were all kind of run together.
Yeah, they do.
Don't they?
They do. Because a lot of them are the same bands.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, y'all used the hell out of Seven Dust.
Yeah.
For a while.
Stained for a while.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with that format, that active rock format, there are only a certain amount of bands that can draw a big crowd. So you have to use those bands as your headliner usually.
Yeah.
And then you could put some cooler young bands opening up. So that's what we tried to do with that. But I don't know. We had Marilyn Manson one year. His music to me is okay.
Did you ever interview him?
But I always liked what he did on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I interviewed
him. It's the Kiss thing.
I saw him at one of our shows when he opened up for, remember when Black Sabbath got together again?
Mm-hmm.
When they finally came back. And
that was an Ozfest.
Yeah, it was an Ozfest show. And I saw Marilyn Manson. It was a really good show, too.
That's the thing, his live shows are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the music's kind of like,
he had a slip-up last week.
I mean, there's some good songs.
Did you guys see?
Yeah, he freaked out on stage up in New York.
Yeah.
Was he like super douche?
Who's that?
Manson. I heard he's mega douche.
He's a really smart guy. And I think he's one of those guys that if he doesn't like the way he's getting interviewed or doesn't want to do it, then he could probably be a jerk.
He can sabotage it.
Yeah. Or just.
But you're a laid back guy. Like, they never did that with you except Vince Neil, I guess.
Yeah. I think it just depends on the mood they're in.
Yeah.
You know? How they wake up.
Yeah. The girlfriend just left you, or she's sleeping with the drummer, and now you got to do an interview with some punk who's going to ask you the same questions you've been asking every city so far.
You wanted a fivesome, only got a twosome.
When you were setting up for those type of interviews, did you try to think of things that maybe the last guy didn't ask him?
I tried to.
Yeah, and did it usually come out on top?
Sometimes you're going into these things
real quick
with a band that you've interviewed 1,000 times. Maybe it's a new band you don't know a lot about.
Yeah.
The person who was good at that was Jessie, who worked at The Edge. Man, she did a lot of research for that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What happened to her? She was really cool.
I think she's in Nashville now.
Is she
still in radio?
I don't know. I think she is, but I'm not positive.
Out of the years, what do you have more fun doing, the Edge years or the Eagle years?
Yeah,
because you do have, it's two different formats, but they're pretty close together.
Yeah, I think the Eagle in the 90s was a lot of fun because we were competing against the Edge, so we had a pretty wide playlist. You know, we were playing stuff like, not that I was a big fan of the stuff, but it just added some flavor to the station. Bands like Everclear and Matchbox 20. It wasn't just so narrow, you know, it became such a narrow format of hard rock. So it was cool when we were playing just a little bit of everything, you know.
Yeah.
That was fun. But then when the Edge and the Eagle got together and they were owned by the same company, then it was like, here's your toys, you play with those, and here's your toys, you play with these.
That was Clear Channel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
they put a line in there, like,
well, basically,
you're to play these songs and you're to play these songs.
Well, not so much these songs and these songs, but it was like, you can't cannibalize each other. You can't.
Yeah.
Because
it's detrimental to the business.
Did they happen to create like a rivalry between the stations to where it felt like that? Or is it more like.
There was some. Like, it was like brothers and sisters, you know, where you're like.
Oh, yeah?
I want to make sure you get yours and they're not getting too much of theirs, you know.
Did you ever go tag the Edge? I'm like, shh, Eagle.
Well, I love the Edge. Yeah. So I'd worked at the Edge in 93 and then I went back there.
Eagle.
Is that more of what you're into personally? Is more Edge music versus
probably? I mean, I like
AC/DC.
I like bands that take chances, and there's more of that with an Edge format than there was with Eagle. But you know, when Korn came out, I thought that was pretty cool because I was like, well, "This is different," you know, and I respected that. I like some of that.
So your role as a program director, how does it work when the music is presented to you from, I get, what is it, A&R reps? Is it the labels? And they're saying, hey, this
labels
is what's hot everywhere
reps,
in the other markets. Mm-hmm. And is the PD's the one that sits down and says, okay, this is what we're going to play. This is what we're not going to play. Did you have to take that burden on a lot?
Yeah. And music director helps out with that. They'll meet with the reps and say, wow, we got this new Metallica song. Let's listen to it. We're going to put that in.
Okay. How many times were you just butting heads with people just going, this sucks.
I
know it sells, but it sucks.
Well, it got hard when the playlist was cut down to a point where, you didn't have a lot of room for new stuff, and there was might have been some stuff you wanted to play, but you just don't have room. You can't. Let's say you got the new Metallica on there. You can't take the new Metallica off to play some baby band. So that baby band got
Steadfast.
Had it not been for Creed, probably would have been the next, you know, probably. Drowning Pool. But,
so, how much of self-discovery, or you're out and about on vacation or something, you come across this band that is being played in California on their radio station. It's not like a local, you know, a local California band that you just roll up into a club and see, but they're being played on the air out there. Say, let's just take, for example, like a Rage Against the Machine or something, mm-hmm. and you want to play them. Are you able to do that, or are you able to make space for just, stuff you self-discover?
Something I just really believed in, I could probably make some space for it, but I would have to justify that, and that would be justifying
answering to the suits.
Just to myself, with more than just I love this band. I mean,
yeah,
I would have to see why is it working in California. Is California a totally different market than Texas? You know, there's some things that work out. You just have to go through.
You had a canned show out there too, didn't you? Speaking of California,
in San Jose, yeah, for a while. Yeah. But the best thing I did was the local show, because that was all. Nobody cared when I played. I played whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, and I would go down and see the bands and be like, oh man, I remember I saw Jibe at Clearview on like a Wednesday night. I'm like,
played with Jibe.
Wow.
So let's go down that avenue. What's your favorite local band?
I mean,
you know, in the '90s we have a ton, not Steadfast, but
it's banging chicks.
When I first came to Dallas and went to Deep Ellum, somebody took me to Deep Ellum and I went and I saw Hagfish and I was
Hagfish was awesome.
I was like, why is this not being played everywhere? This
so
is amazing.
Much fun.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Hagfish shows were so great.
Yeah. So I became a big fan of them, and that's what made me want to do the local show. And
was this Buick Men years or
yeah,
Rocky
Buick
Lemon?
Men was
Buick
out.
Men? Yeah. Okay.
And then when I started doing the local show, they put out Rock Your Lame Ass, which is just amazing all the way through. So, you know, and then Slow Roosevelt and Cock and all those bands are out. Dusu. Mm-hmm. Course of Empire put out their last album when I was
Ugly
doing the
Mustard.
Local. Ugly Mustard, yeah.
Was it? What was the? God, what was the name of the band that dressed like nuns and priests? Angel Dick, you remember that?
Angel Dick did, yeah.
And Big Iron, that was rock and roll then.
You had like the ones I'd go to were like Bob Goblin, Doomsday.
Oh, Bob Goblin was
Bob
awesome.
Bob Goblin's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, you know, the last Hagfish show, Bob Goblin, opened
at
Three Links, and it was great.
Did you go down there for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I had.
Yeah, those were some good days.
The local music show was great, and that was something where I got to play what I thought was good. Didn't matter.
So these days, do you get to enjoy any local music? Do you journey down that path at all?
I don't have a lot of time to listen to music, and if I do, it's probably...
Stuff you know.
Sirius XM.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Did you ever do... Did you anything with XM?
No, but Dangerous Darren did. He still works there.
That blew my mind the first time. Like, I had a party here, and I was like, hey, let's just throw it on 80s.
Yeah.
You know, the Hair Nation 80s, and like, all of a sudden, Dangerous Darren shows up.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I never met him.
Wow.
I heard he was a cool dude.
That's really
but
cool.
I never met him. I met... That what was it, Kramer and Twitch? I remember those guys. I met them a couple times.
Yeah, yeah. There we go.
But I never met Dangerous Darren. He did the mandatory Metallica.
Yeah.
He worked at Z-Rock too for a while, didn't he?
No, Darren came from Kanak in L.A.
Oh.
After that, they folded. He and Cindy, I think, both worked there.
Was it Shark? Some guy named Shark?
Sharkman.
That's where
Cindy
Shark came
Man.
From.
I know Sharkman.
Yeah, he was at Z-Rock.
Yeah, he was at Z-Rock. And can't remember the other guys there. Z-Rock was awesome.
So you were there for a few metal and rock and roll and alternative eras of music. What would you say you enjoyed the most? Like, which one did you enjoy the most, and what was it about it that you... Like, the 80s hair metal time towards the end of the 80s and the 90s? Was that your favorite time? Do you like the new metal stuff that was...
Being in radio or just being a fan of music?
Yeah, it's just the whole thing, the whole package. Fan of music... And radio.
When the grunge thing happened, that meant something to me because
it was right in your wheelhouse.
It felt like it was needed. It felt real. It felt like all the 80s bands. You know, I loved Motley Crue and Rat back, you know, in 1985, but by 1990, it was horrible. I mean, it was just...
And it was saturated because you started having these... no offense, but like the Jackals and Trickster and the and then the Blurred Lines with like Nelson.
Yes.
And
yes.
you had these weird bands yeah. coming in there, and yeah. it's like, all right, now everybody's trying to capitalize on this hair yeah. Glam movement. Mm-hmm. It's time for something to change.
Yeah, I was laying in bed. I was like sitting in bed doing homework for college, and I was watching 120 Minutes. Y'all ever watch that?
Yeah,
and,
just TV watch all the time.
Yeah, and they played Nirvana, "It Smells Like Teen Spirit," and I was like, "Wow!"
Yeah.
And was so I went and bought the cassette.
You had heard it was yeah. on MTV.
Yeah. yeah.
The I think I heard the Ticket once do a show about alternative music, or that it was about the Edge. It was about the yeah.
Because they had George on there,
and they were saying that yeah. that the DFW market had the Nevermind, or was it Pearl Jam?
No, it was Nevermind at first, and then it was also 10.
Yeah, that we were kind of a test market for that album, and we were jamming it for about 6 weeks before the rest of the country was.
Mm.
So you hadn't heard it then; you saw it on MTV.
Well, where I lived, we couldn't hear the Edge, so out in East Texas.
That was Nevermind? That was on 100? Because I thought that was later.
That was 90, right? 90, 91?
91.
Oh, you're still on East Texas. That's right.
Yep. So, yeah, I went out and bought that, and then Pearl Jam came out, and I was all about, you know, that. And so then I got into radio, and when I got to the Edge, Pearl Jam put out their second album, and Nirvana put out In Utero.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was cool to be a part of that.
Yeah. Did you ever meet Kurt Cobain?
No. And I have a story about that. I got tickets to go see them in Dallas. And I
the
was
Breeders
like,
show? Or the Breeders
was
open?
Was
at the Dallas Sportatorium?
No, the Fair Park
oh,
Coliseum.
Oh, no, it was the Coliseum.
Something.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah, I had tickets, and it was like a Sunday maybe or something. And I was like, oh, man, I probably had a few beers. I'm like, I don't feel like driving all the way down there. And I gave them to this guy that lived next door to me in these apartments. And he went to the show, and I probably just kept drinking beer. And about 10:30 or 11, he comes back and goes, dude, that was an awesome show. Thanks so much. I'm like, yeah, I'll just catch him next time.
Uh-oh. There wasn't a next time. Uh-oh. That was the last time they came through.
Same thing with Alice in Chains.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny because
Lollapalooza was the last time
I
had
tickets to that, and I didn't go to that.
Yep.
So if I have tickets to your band show and I don't show up,
it's not good. Not a good sign.
Not a good sign. Not a good omen.
It's funny because bringing up Alice in Chains, I was at y'all's I was working the BFD show when I think Stain told the whole crowd. It was either Stain or Creed or one of those bands was like, oh, we just lost Layne Staley today. We just found out. And I was like, what? That was weird.
Yeah, I remember that because Drowning Pool was there, and I was talking to Dave about that.
That's really weird.
Seems weird now, but yeah, he was really bummed out about it. Everybody was. But.
Yeah. How is that? Because radio, you're kind of working for the public in a way, in radio. So when things like that happened, or say like 9/11, what was were you like not burdened, but did you feel like, wow, I owe it to these, I got to listen to these people, I got to kind of bend my ear to these music fans, and what was that like?
Well, I think when Dime got killed, that was a big, because I was at the Edge, the Eagle wasn't on the air, but we went to the clubhouse to broadcast and talked to people there, and yeah, that was really heavy.
Now he died at night. Did y'all go the next day?
I think it was. Yes.
I'll never forget that. I woke up to that on Channel 5 News, and I was like, I didn't hear that. I heard something, but I didn't hear what I think I just heard. And I think we had a DVR at the time, and I backed it up, and I was like, oh my gosh, and that stuck with you.
Yeah,
that stuck with you for a while because he was always around. You know, him and Dave.
Yeah,
they were both two guys that were always hanging out. You always saw them everywhere you went, and it was just, I think I have a theory that the death of Dime put our music scene into a funk that is still kind of hanging on. And I've told you about that theory. That was rough. So what about like 9/11? What were you doing?
Yeah, I was at the Eagle, and
was Stern on at that time?
No, Mikey was on.
Yeah.
Okay, because I heard it through Stern. Yeah.
But it definitely ran into your... Y'all were just broad simulcasting ABC,
Once we realized what had happened, we went to just broadcasting the TV.
Yeah.
And we did that for maybe a day or two.
Were you PD at the time?
No, I was just...
You weren't? Okay.
That was your...
Director, midday.
Your shift.
So, yeah, what'd you do? Did y'all just hang out and stand around like...
Yeah.
And look at each other like, what do
I
we
think
do?
So, yeah. I think we just let the news run because, I mean, they were doing way more than we could have done.
Yeah.
And it would have been not cool to.
Yeah, how are you going to talk that up, man? Yeah,
and, so, I do remember you guys did do a round table or something. It was you and Jagger and some other guy, or I think you were involved in it. They did some kind of round table at the end of the week.
I don't remember that.
There was some kind of, like, they did a round table with all the morning shows or something at the end of the week, and then from that point on, I thought they started, you started getting back into programming, because it was a, y'all stayed away from regular programming for a while, didn't you?
Seems like it. And there was a list that came out of songs that you couldn't play, and Drowning Pool's Bodies was on there.
That was hot then,
that
too.
That really hurt their record sales. Not that,
yeah.
Not that it, you know, it's not that big a deal compared to what was going on, but you feel bad for them, because you're like, wow, there's... good song, good album, and just kind of lost its momentum at that point.
Yeah.
Because of that.
That's crazy. Crazy times, man.
That is a, yeah. That's crazy. Is it, I take it that would be the, probably the most shocking point of your career, like while you're working and something happening on the air?
Yeah, that was one of them. One of the first things that happened was I was in Tyler doing middays, and we had a TV in the studio, and I was watching the TV, and these guys have been locked in this compound in Waco for weeks, and all of a sudden I look up and it's on fire, and I was like, I don't think that's supposed to be happening, and watched it burn down while I'm
on
the air.
Did you talk about it?
Yeah, so I went on to talk about it, but I was young, and you know,
you didn't know
music jock. I'm not like a Tom Brokaw or anything. Yeah. So
it's weird though, because the DJ, it's a weird dynamic, because all of a sudden you can be put in a role where people are looking to you for just any comfort. And I felt like that's what radio that week, that whole week after 9/11, that's what a lot of people just wanted to hear your voice doing the nooners and stuff. And they just wanted to get away from all of it and listen to music again. And it's weird how that dynamic plays out with radio broadcasting.
Yeah, you have to walk on eggshells for a
while. I heard sounds, and I was like, is he over here licking his lips? What's
I was chewing on my nails,
so,
my bad.
One thing that you were present for, too, was you were there from the thick and thin in a top five market during the transition between analog and digital. Right. Like, what was that like? Like, you had to cut tape, haven't you? You've cut tape.
Yeah.
So what did you run into as far as problems goes with that transition?
Well, when I was at the Eagle, we were all CDs and carts, which are like 8-track cassette players for people who don't know.
You miss the carts?
Yeah, I miss it. I mean, you miss the...
Cha-chung, 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 cha-chung.
So that's how we were. It was somewhat digital because it was, CDs, I guess, are digital. But when we went from CDs to everything being on a hard drive somewhere, that was what was scary.
Yeah.
Was that still a hard drive locally, or did it make it to
locally.
Where it's... Okay.
And I think it still is.
It is? Okay.
Local.
Oh, they're not doing it from a cloud.
No, there's ways to program it that way and to manipulate it, but I think the actual storage is on site, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Because you could burn in songs if you wanted to. If you had something or a different version of a song, you could do that.
Maybe. Okay, cool.
So there was a time when you had to go pick out your CDs, though, your heavy, medium, and like slow plays, and take a stack to the player.
Yeah,
and shove them in, huh?
Well, yeah, if somebody else
pot it up,
you would usually pull your full hour of music,
and
your commercials, and get ready to rock and roll.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's good times.
What do you think about it now?
About looking back at it or where
no,
it's at
about
now?
About where it's at now.
How fast the technology's just gone through the roof.
Changed.
Well, I didn't know it at the time, but hindsight's 20/20. But when we went from CDs and carts to everything being on a computer, and you were able to put voice tracks in, which would make it where you don't have to be live, that it would start to be where your job would become obsolete. So I didn't realize it, but that's what happened to a lot of disc jockeys
a lot of your friends and colleagues
just got fired, so that part of it sucks. You kind of wish that it was still pulling CDs and carts and
out at Mount Alba, or where was it,
in Mount Pleasant?
Mount Pleasant.
Mount Pleasant. That way, I was playing records there, so
did you ever drag a needle
or
scratch it full?
Well, do you remember your biggest faux pas in broadcast? Like, did you ever drop an F-bomb? And
I don't think
Oops.
I did. No, I don't. I mean, not that I can recall.
Never had a nipple slip?
I mean, you know, when I first started, I was so scared of everything. But yeah. I remember I was working overnights, and nobody listened to this radio station in Mount Pleasant. And I had to go to the bathroom or something. And so I put on, Bob Dylan something.
A longer one so you could
Yeah, it was long. It was the last track on the full-length album.
Yeah.
So I go, and then I come back in, and it's going around this. And I was like... Okay. Yeah.
About 2 minutes of dead air.
Yeah, probably. Who knows?
That's pretty awesome.
Take a time machine back. Go to Mont Alba. Be a DJ. Did you ever fuck a chick at the Mont Alba board?
Mount Pleasant?
Mount Pleasant.
I'm going to write it down for you.
What mountain are you? You keep finding all these different mountains. Hey, while you were broadcasting at Mount Carmel,
Frankston. Are you at Frankston, Texas? So. You're doing full on image. You still do imaging for radio stations. I saw on your LinkedIn.
Yeah, just the voice though. I don't do any production. Yeah.
Have you ever done that as well? The production and the voice.
In '93 at the Edge, but yeah. I was on an 8-track machine.
Yeah.
So
how much work is that doing the full on voice imaging for a whole radio station?
Well,
seems intimidating.
In '93, it was an 8-track machine was hard. I mean,
yeah,
because. I don't know if y'all have dealt with that, mm-hmm. but it's...
Yeah. I did in college.
Yeah. It's not fun. But now with, you know, everything on editing software with Pro Tools or whatever, then
yeah.
all your sounds and zaps and whatever is all loaded in there. You just plug it in. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't want to do it, but there are guys who are really proficient at it. They make it look easy.
Do you build out beds behind you or...
No, I just give just going, straight
just
voice. Voice.
Just yeah. straight voice. Yeah. And then they let them build it out?
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's really nice and easy.
Yeah, it takes a certain type of person. Just like you guys make music, it takes a certain person to be a producer.
Yeah,
you know? Some guys don't have the patience for it. Like getting drum sounds, I'd be like, no, I'm not going to sit here and listen to you.
We did that for a year.
Hit that tom until it sounds right. I don't know what it sounds right. It sounds right now. Okay,
it works. Hey, it sounds good.
Sounds
right
like
now.
A drum. Let's go.
Let's do it. That's silly.
I think that was one of the most aggravating things I've ever sat through for a whole year was listening to someone.
It is.
Drum.
It's like I have Vietnam flashbacks of it.
Yeah.
Like I'm really,
yeah.
really timid from it.
Like when every time, every up, once in a while, I'm partying with Jesse, and I'm like, "You son of a bitch, we could have had.
I mean,
gold.
We
could have made a gold record."
There, like our first year, every guest that would come in, we had them record a bit of. Are you done mixing my drums yet? Because
yeah.
that was a bit, and we put it on the very end of the show.
Yeah. You done mixing my drums yet?
what's the story here?
He was very...
So we did everything self-contained.
Yeah.
This we set up as our jam room, mm-hmm. and we recorded in here too. Mm-hmm. At the time, all the computer recording gear was up against that wall. Drums were here. We had them caged. We had them mic'd. Everything sounded good. But he's one of those anal retentive guys that are like...
Your drummer or your...
The drummer.
Drummer.
And he wanted every hit to sound good.
That's a steadfast drummer, too.
Same steadfast drummer.
Yeah.
But that's just the way he is, and it's totally understandable, but you reach a point to where you got to be, all right, we're done.
Right.
All right, we're done. Let's go on.
It's not going to get any better.
And it took we were joking around, but we were working on all these tracks, and... It came to the one-year anniversary of where we had started recording drums, and it was like, we've been doing this a year. It's time to move on.
Yeah.
And luckily, in the meantime, Matt and I had already recorded our parts, so it was like, once we finish the drums, we're done.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, we would work on something, bounce it down, give it to him, he'd listen to it, and he'd be like, it, you know, 2 minutes and 37 seconds, there's a snare hit that's not the same as all the others.
Can't you cut and paste another one on there?
We did.
We did.
We did. There'd and be several times where we fixed it. We fixed it. And
I started MIDI mapping everything.
Yeah.
And just every time there's a hit,
yep.
take that MIDI, fix it, and put in a fake snare
right.
hit. And that made things a little quicker, but it was still...
So...
It's humorous now, but
yeah. I'm glad it was over. So I'm looking at your LinkedIn, your resume stuff here. What'd you do with HBO India?
I feel like I'm in a job interview.
Yeah.
It is.
Where are you? Well, you didn't know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're testing you out here.
You're the fourth guy on the show.
Join the show.
Yeah. Right. We did the same to Jake. He's good, too. He's a good producer. He was moving us along. He was keeping up.
We have ADD
problems.
He actually
problems.
Was. We have hardcore
Yeah,
ADD
we'll chase
problems,
a rabbit so. For an hour if we're allowed to, and he was keeping us on. Hey, I want to talk about this, or what, like get us back on track right. What we originally started on a couple of times. We're like, you really do earn your check, man.
Yeah.
This is just a podcast. You ever thought about doing a podcast show?
I did a while ago because I had a lot of free time on my hands before I had kids and before my business took off, and I was like, I should do a podcast, but I never got around to it.
Yeah. What were you going to do? Just music based or?
I think it would have been kind of like what you guys do, where it's just kind of a, you
dick
know.
Dick and fart jokes.
Yeah.
See what comes up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk just, about what's going on in the world. Yeah. And
nothing too serious.
Yeah. We got tied into, like, we did some political stuff when the we got drawn into some talking real stuff when the Black Lives Matter, when the shootings happened in Dallas.
Yeah.
We had two heavy shows. And then during the election, we got pretty heavy a couple of times just because it was everywhere. And you'd come in and you'd talk about it. And it's funny, people enjoyed that show.
Well, like it's like you said about radio. I mean, that you're talking to people about something they want to hear about. They want to hear somebody's opinion, somebody they know.
And the when we had Peter in, Slow Roosevelt Peter Thomas, you know, we did a suicide show a couple of years ago that was super, super serious, but everybody dug the hell out of it. Right. They were like, y'all weren't just talking dick and fart jokes all the time.
Right. It's just like Stern is a great example of that.
Yeah.
He can do a serious show or a serious interview and then dick and fart jokes. I never did. He became number one in Dallas, and his deal had been up to then that if he was number one, he would come down and do a parade.
And they did. Texas said no, right?
Well, I don't know what the final deal was. I think he was a little nervous about it. I think there had been some threats. And
didn't he send Stuttering John?
Yeah, he did.
And
I got to hang out with Stuttering John.
Did Gary Dunn come down with him?
I don't remember Gary being there. I don't know.
But Stuttering John came down.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that whole thing. That's
high school.
Yeah. I would tape Stern in high school and listen.
Man, when it went on, was it E or Life? What channel did he first start? Was it E?
Did he?
I remember when that happened. I was like, yeah, I get to see these ladies.
So talking about Stern, you taped him in high school. Well, I worked overnights, and at 5 a.m. Dallas time, he would start it out there, and I would have to start the reel-to-reel tape in the other room in order to catch a show. And there were times I would be like, you know, doing something, sleeping, I don't know. And it's like, oh, shit, it's 10 after 5. And I run in there and start recording it, and they're already into halfway through the bits at the beginning. And
dang.
You're like, yeah.
So those shows I would listen to and go, why is the beginning of the show missing?
That was me. Well, the guy that was actually in charge of it was so good, he would take bits from the day before or another day, a week earlier. I think we kept a week of shows. And he could splice it together where it sounded like the full bits. But hardcore fans like you would have been like, no.
I've already heard this.
Yeah,
what's
this was
on?
Last Wednesday. This isn't right.
Of course, now if you listen to him on satellite, you're like, I've already heard all this.
Yeah.
Because he does like 3 days a week now. And
right.
Everything is just replayed.
Is he still one at the top of the food chain in broadcast media? Or is Seacrest taking that over?
I don't know. I don't listen to – I canceled my SiriusXM subscription
because
I was tired of this 3 days, and then he had like 245 holidays.
Yeah.
And I was like, why am I paying for – I paid for it for Stern. The music is nice, but why am I paying all this if he's only going to be there 30 days a year type thing?
Yeah.
And it's not really that – I mean, he's there quite a bit, but – I'm exaggerating, but it felt like that.
It's annoying when you turn it on and
it
you're
does.
Like, ah, it's
yeah.
a repeat. Yeah, it's annoying.
It totally is. So what made you finally decide it's time, I need to leave the Eagle and move on?
Well, I just saw the writing on the wall, and there was a ceiling that I had hit, I felt like. And I didn't want to be one of those guys who was, you know, trying to find another gig at 50 years old. I had a kid at the time and was married and bought a house. And I'm just like,
your roots are here. You don't want to move to across the country.
I didn't want somebody else deciding my job.
Yeah.
And in radio,
you'd seen it happen.
It doesn't matter how good you were doing, how good the ratings were. If your number was up and they crossed you out, then you were gone. So
the shift happened.
Yeah.
The industry shift.
Yeah.
So what if you would you go back to if say an independent radio station moved to Prosper and said, hey, you can have a show?
No.
You wouldn't do it.
No.
We got one in Fort Worth. We got the
Mount Alba.
The pirate.
I want to start this Mount Alba station you're talking about.
John Rohde station down in
the
Fort
pirate.
Worth.
I was telling him about the pirate.
Yeah. I would work with John Rohde.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
He'd love to have him.
He's cool. We had them in here. And talking about the pirate taking off and everything.
Yeah.
And that's a cool deal they do because they
have a mailbox. What's it called? The loot?
The pirate box. Yeah, the loot box.
Loot box. And you can go put in music and they'll check it out and play it.
But they're just doing their own thing.
We might have gone by there and put some weed in there a couple of times.
I'm not saying anything.
We might have done that.
Not saying anything.
Maybe that's why he likes us.
But yeah, it was. He's doing a really cool thing. It's just now you can get it up here. You know, his signal's not super strong, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And that was his whole deal. Is he wants the Fort Worth music scene was starting to take off and felt like more people needed to hear it. So
yeah,
fire up the station.
People like John have a passion for that, and I just don't have that passion for that anymore. You know, I respect people that do. I think that's amazing. You got to have people like that or suck. But yeah, it's not me.
Well, the passions.
What is your passion these days?
Anime, bro.
Voiceover work.
Yeah.
Just straight up voiceover work.
Yeah. So getting back to my question, what's this HBO India? It's intriguing me. I want to hear your your character. I mean, was it Hello?
No.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I'm the voice of HBO in India.
India.
The promo voice. Yeah.
Okay.
So
is it in English?
Tonight on HBO.
There you go.
Bam.
Whoa. Hey, we need you.
I'm going to cut that out.
Yeah, we need you to do some Jerry Jonestown Massacre.
Tonight on JJTM.
Tonight on Jerry Jonestown Massacre.
Previously.
More dick and fart jokes. Matt talks about fucking chicks on an imaginary radio board.
So that's you're the previously on HBO. You do all that stuff?
I do the promos. Now HBO in India is owned by Turner, so it's not. They don't have Game of Thrones or any of the original programming.
How does that work?
Well,
I
don't know exactly, but I think Turner is licensing the HBO brand and just showing movies over there. So they show new releases. So if you go over there, you know.
Have you made a trip to Bollywood?
No, I haven't. No.
You looking forward to it?
I would go if they're paying for it.
Yeah. So what shows are they on right now? The Wire or something?
No original shows. It's all movies.
It is. It's just what you just said.
Just all movies.
Are you listening to this show?
Matt, are you listening to your own show?
Yeah. Lack of sleep.
Previously edibles. On Jerry Jonestown Massacre.
The edibles.
You had
three
edibles?
Minutes
it's
been about
ago.
An hour. 3 minutes ago.
On the Jerry Jonestown Massacre.
Literally 3 seconds ago. with the Mon Alba.
So when you, you're doing voiceover for commercials and stuff.
Commercials and narrations.
Have I heard you on a whiskey?
Yeah, I did a whiskey. Evan Williams, that's on the website. Indian Motorcycles.
Fort Worth Indian Motorcycles, right?
It was national.
Oh. Okay.
So, yeah. Anything manly is usually what I do.
Yeah, I like this quote on your website that you're the modern-day manly man.
That's right. The branding statement.
That is amazing.
That's awesome. Makes me think you shave with an axe.
Yeah.
Do you shave with an axe?
I think we need.
But you still do it with
by
a
the
smile
way,
on
Dustin took the pictures on the website, so we need to do some more. Where maybe I'm wearing my flannel with my axe.
There we go. Yeah, you're in the woods.
Yeah,
we'll go out.
Yeah,
a pipe or something.
Yeah,
for sure.
Man, we need to do a bunch. Yeah, we'll do manly men ones.
Overman.
They're all manly men.
Do overmanly.
We'll
men.
Go out to like
Mount Alba.
What is it? No. Yeah. Wherever that is, we'll find Mount Alba.
There's a radio station there.
There's a radio station there. Yeah. We'll go out to like Caddo Lake and you'll be standing in the swamp just skinning a gator or something. Yeah. You're like, I'm the manly man. Fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bite the head off a freaking crappie. No?
I don't know. I don't know if that's very
bad. I don't know about that. What is it? Isn't it Nick Swanson? He's the manly man from Community.
Is he?
Yeah, he's the what was he? Was he the mayor of Community or whatever?
The comedian?
Yeah.
Nick Swanson?
Swanson?
Yeah, the blonde-headed guy. I like him. I've never watched Community.
Have you seen him do it? Like speaking of like the Olympics and stuff. Have you seen him do his routine about or his stand-up where he talks about ice skating? Have you seen that one, Chris?
No. I got blocked by him on Twitter, by the way.
Uh-oh, did you troll him?
Because you're the manly man and y'all are in a war? Are y'all in a beef?
Are you beefing with Nick?
I was the biggest fan of his, and I found this weird picture that looked like him and Rihanna, but it wasn't. And I said, hey, here's you and Rihanna. And
he didn't like it?
And all of a sudden, I just never heard anything. I never saw his tweets or anything, and I went to look him up and it said, you're blocked or something.
What a dick.
You're a comedian with no sense of humor.
Wow. He's sensitive about Rihanna.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I
don't
know. It was weird.
You never know.
That's messed up. I've heard of Andy Dick doing things like that. He comes through town every once in a while. That dude's a wreck when he comes into town. You ever hung out with him when you're...
Never. No.
Hitting the town? You know, I had to go in a limo with him once. Told you that story about my shoes stinking because I was skating.
Who, Chris or Andy Dick?
Pretty sure it was just Chris and a bunch of girls.
Yeah, he told us about this, like his shoes stinking.
Yeah, it was one of those pub crawl things, and we were in a. They got you a limo, and you were dragging me around to give out T-shirts and stuff. And I wore my skateboard shoes, and they smelled like straight fart. Like, and every time I would get in and out of the limo, I would hear the girls going, "Oh my gosh, did he?" Oh no! I think it was that dude. And I was like, "Dude, Chris probably wants to fucking
with the blue hair
here." Yeah,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you were partying.
What?
I was working.
I don't party.
Yeah,
Matt Good with days. Blue hair.
So we got these questions.
You know, that's the interview I need to ask.
What, the blue hair questions?
What made you decide to have blue hair?
I have no idea, man. I think about that all the time because there was some family reunions that year. And so there's some pictures floating around at my grandma's house. And I'm like, what the fuck? What was I doing?
Like, I colored my hair every time I went snowboarding, but that was like for a week or two.
Mine wasn't just
like I
it wasn't
red,
just
blue and purple, but
it wasn't just blue. It was it was several colors. But when I was at the radio station, it was blue for a while. And Robert called me Papa Smurf.
Smurf, yeah, that's right, Papa
and
Smurf.
That's where
because of blue hair.
Robo Tuner still calls you Papa
and that's
Smurf
because of the red pants. Because Robert Miguel was saying something about me. Remember when he did the Rubber Room?
Mm-hmm.
Our band was in there, and he said, "Sup for the red pants." And that's where red pants came from with Matt Thomas. Matt Thomas does a podcast.
No,
or
he used to do one.
And
that was the old bass player that I was going to replace.
Yeah. And Steadfast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Iraq started.
Yep. We would have had a Grammy. We would have had a Grammy if it wasn't for Iraq.
Yeah. Because once I got
the aardvark, we were playing with Jibe, actually.
Once I got in that band
that night.
I think it was with Jibe, actually.
It was.
No one paid attention to any band on stage because we were watching the TVs.
The whole show, our whole set, no one was watching because the war started that night. We started bombing
bombing and launching Tomahawk missiles and
stuff. All right.
Huh.
Yeah.
That was the weirdest scene I've ever seen at a local club.
Yeah.
That was
strange.
Weird.
It was a weird night.
Thomas's wife at the time
was like, "You got to get home now."
No, she called my wife crying and freaking out.
No, she wanted him to come home.
Well, she did, but then when y'all started playing, she couldn't get a hold of him, so she called my wife. And I think we were dating at the time. I don't know if we were married or not. But anyway, she was all crying. Oh, this is the end of the world. What's going on? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Now it's 20. What are we? 18?
Yeah. We're getting close, though. Mushroom party's getting a lot closer now, I would say. And I'm not talking about the cool mushroom party.
Right.
Either one, if you know what I'm saying, Dustin. So we got this thing that we like to do that Dustin wants to do called 10 lightning round questions.
All right.
These are 10 questions. First thing that comes to your mind.
This is the interview.
This is the full. This is if you get the job or not.
Okay.
Number one, what's your favorite cereal?
Fruit Loops.
Good choice. Number two, Coke or Dr. Pepper?
Dr. Pepper.
That explains a lot.
You like the Dr. Pepper down that they make down in, was it in
Dublin?
Mount Alba? In Dublin. Yeah, Dublin.
I mean, I don't drink soft drinks, but yeah, I used to be a Dr. Pepper guy. Yeah.
All right.
Back in the day.
Number three, the mountains or the beach?
Beach.
Number four, favorite beer or whiskey?
It changes. Right now, I like Local Buzz. Y'all had that?
Yeah, there's some right there.
Why didn't y'all tell me?
They're in the little,
right to the right on the side of it.
Yeah,
right
in the little roll
right
down.
There in the roll down thing. There you go.
Snag you a Local Buzz. Tear it up.
Yeah. It's my favorite beer right now.
That's some good stuff. Good honey. Now, you're going to have to close the door. Are you born in a barn, Chris? Come on. There's a big dick. I know you don't want to touch it.
You don't want to touch that thing either, man.
Yeah, Local Buzz. I'm a big fan of Local Buzz.
Yeah, I'm going to have this.
The Four Corners is doing a good job. All right.
Wait, what about your whiskey? Do you do whiskey at all?
Yeah, I do like rye whiskey. Redemption Rye, something.
Redemption's good.
Yeah.
We used to have a bottle of that out here. I think
we drank it.
It is all gone. That was several months ago, so I'm pretty sure it's all gone. All right, last song you listened to or downloaded?
I heard One Headlight by the Wallflowers on the way over here.
That's a good song. I forgot about that.
That's not a bad song.
One Headlight. It's better when I sing.
Fan of Jacob Dylan?
I like that song and that other one he had.
That whole album was decent.
Sixth Avenue Heartbreak
is...
he's got a cool, soulful
damn
voice.
Good song, yeah. They did a amazing version of Heroes on the Godzilla soundtrack.
Yeah, we played that.
I like that. I think that's where I heard it.
I want to hear Donald Trump do it. We could be here. Do it. You got it, man. You can do it this time.
Well, you can be queen.
It's just not there.
It's not there. I can't do it tonight. I don't have it.
You need an edible.
Did you have edibles, really? All right. Number six, dawn or dusk?
Dusk. I'm around for both, but I prefer dusk, I guess.
Are you a slaughter guy? Are you up all night, or do you sleep
all day?
I'm in bed early and up early.
Up early, all right.
Is that an age thing? Because I'm starting to do that now. I'm starting to wake up when you wake up, which is like 6, and then I'm like, there's no way I'm waking up now.
It's so weird when you respond to my shit at 6 a.m., and I'm like,
what's he doing up?
What the fuck is Matt doing up?
I'm notorious for sleeping until 3.
Because for years, I'm not expecting a response till
I think it's something
afternoon.
About 42. I hit 42, and all of a sudden, I'm like wanting to go to Luby's and wake up early. So,
Blue Plate Special?
Yeah.
I went on Friday night. I went to or Saturday night. I went to the Allen Americans hockey game.
Yeah.
And as I'm up there, all my friends from high school had a little mini reunion at Ron's Corner Tavern.
Okay.
And they're like, "Where you at? You got to come join us. Hey, come hang out." And I'm like, "All right." I said, "But I'm up here shooting the Allen Americans and the Ice Angels. The hockey game starts at 7." Mm-hmm. I'll be there as soon as it's over. Just let me know. So I come home, drop off all my gear, and I message the guys. I'm like, "All right, where you at?" They're like, "Oh, we're already at home." It's 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "What is going on?" I was like, "Did y'all get the Blue Plate Special at Ron's?" Because that place is open till 2.
Yeah.
What's going on? Yeah, we're kind of lame.
Do I know these people?
Yeah. You know Rob?
Yeah.
From Boiled Owl?
Yeah, yeah.
That night, yeah. Up there.
He cashed in?
Yeah.
Darren, Pinkish Black Darren. It's his buddy?
Yeah, his brother.
Or his brother?
Brother-in-law, yeah.
Yeah.
Or stepbrother.
We're not good at this lightning round stuff. You know that?
No, okay. Next question. Number 7.
I'm sorry, I woke up. What are you talking about?
Number 7. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Wars.
Yeah, all right. But you had to think about that.
I like both, but Wars better.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you a fan of Goonies? That's not on here.
I saw that for the first time just a couple of years ago.
That's so weird.
I know.
I know a lot of people that are that way, and it blows my mind.
And I would have been, my wife was like, you've never seen this? It should have been right in your wheelhouse. I'm like, I don't know why I never saw it. I would have been 13.
And all that?
Never saw that.
You never saw Short Circuit?
No, I never saw that.
Are you a Dazed and Confused person?
Yeah, I like Dazed and
Confused. All
right,
there we go. Now we can, Almost Famous?
That's later,
like
though.
All those.
That's later.
Yeah.
Than
those
Goonies two. And all that. Goonies and, remember Explorers?
Did Explorers you see Explorers? Was great.
Never even heard of it.
They took the carnival ride and shot
made
it
into a spaceship. Yeah.
It was great. Explorers was awesome. Remember Riskies?
Yeah.
Riskies was good. All right. What's the furthest point you've traveled from DFW?
Not India.
Probably not India. Ireland, probably. Yeah.
Ireland?
Yeah.
Did you go all over?
No, just Dublin.
What'd you think of Dublin?
Loved it.
It's freaking rad, isn't it?
I've been there like 5 or 6 times.
Dublin
Jameson
is amazing.
Would fly me over there.
Did you go to Trinity Hall?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and the smallest bar there, and I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
Pub. Yeah.
It's, what, 2 people can stand in it or some shit? Right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Dublin is amazing. I love
great
it.
Town. Yeah.
That's a
great people.
Great city. Yeah, everybody's super nice. I was afraid I was going to run into a bunch of drunken Irish people. I was going to have to beat up like in Boston, but
like the IRA, you're going to
no, that's Northern.
Oh my bad, I don't know,
so
man.
It's about been Belfast.
To okay, calm down.
When you get to Belfast, things start getting a little dark,
shifty.
A little more industrial, a little more. There's more smog in the air.
Yeah,
and yeah. It's, things change. There's walls.
Where'd they do Braveheart?
Scotland.
Oh, I'm in the wrong country?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I never saw that either.
If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
All right. This one, we can go 2 different ways. This is 9. If Kim Kardashian or Kanye West were both drowning and you could only save one, who would it be? And
Kim,
if that's
Kim?
Yeah.
What about Yeezy?
I don't know much about it.
So let's do an alternate of this one.
Do you have more questions for Chris?
No.
Do you like Yeezy?
I do like Yeezy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I know the song you did with Jamie Foxx.
You want to ask him some more questions?
No.
That's it.
So let's do an alternate of this.
This is dicey because she's a sweet lady.
If Cindy Skoll and Debbie Sexton were both drowning and you can only save one, who would it be?
Yeah, that's tough.
You don't have to answer.
Hey, Chris, I didn't make that question.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
You don't have to answer that one. That one is just...
We'll go with Yeezy.
We'll go with Yeezy.
I'd let Yeezy drown.
Okay. Your favorite in the city... Your favorite city in the U.S. besides the one you live in?
New York City? Yeah. I like visiting New York City. I don't think I would want to live in the city.
That's the way I am.
I would live in L.A. But, one of those two probably.
Seriously, you could live in L.A. over New York?
Yeah, I need sunshine. I need green grass. I need a yard. So, yeah, I would live up in the hills with my own studio where I don't have to mess with traffic. Sunshine.
Money's not an issue.
Well, yeah, money would have to
be. I'd live out by Huntington Beach. That's where I would love to live.
I wouldn't live
there.
Like,
Huntington Beach was badass.
I love that. That's where I wanted to move out of college. And
I used to shit all over L.A., and that's because... All the times I went out there, I stayed in north of downtown.
Yeah.
Where everything is a status symbol and it just beats you down and everybody judges you. But the last few times I've gone out there to southern LA, I've had a blast. Mm-hmm. Anaheim, Long Beach.
Yeah.
In south, Huntington.
Yeah.
Great.
Did you ever do any appearances up in San Jose when you were canning your show?
No.
They never took you out there.
No.
Took you out on the town. Assholes, man.
Yeah.
That's the 10 lightning questions. I do have one more. Have you ever thought about doing...
voice work?
Voice work. Have you ever thought about... You have an amazing voice. No, there is... I do have 2 more questions that are kind of in-depth. First off, we have a friend of ours that used to do the show with us, and he's always wondered how often, like, when you go, say, order... food at a drive-through, or you're checking out at a cash register, do people look up and go, whoa?
Yeah.
Does that happen?
A lot, yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
You should be on the radio. People say that.
Oh, yeah.
But do they recognize you like,
Do you just go with it, or like, yeah, I should? You're right.
I don't. I just like, yeah, that sounds good.
But it's no recognition, like, holy shit.
No.
You're Chris Ryan from the Eagles.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
No.
It's been too long.
What about, okay, the second question is, what about doing a PA work for
I tried out for the Mavericks
team. PA. Oh, you did?
Yeah. When they remember they did that big cattle call, and yeah.
Did you make it people the runner-up or anything?
No. I was a little pissed off about that.
It's rigged.
Yeah.
It's a rigged system. Collusion. Russian collusion, yeah. Man.
Hashtag collusion.
Hashtag collusion.
I'll tell you about that when the mics are off.
About the what?
There's a collusion with that. But
what about the Cowboys?
Like, you got the Allen Angels up there.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, now I don't think I'd want to do it. I mean, I'm super busy with my job and with kids, and you know, that's
the thing. If you got hooked up with the Mavericks or the Stars, it's freaking 40. Was it 41 games a year or something like that?
And so, I live way north of town, so it would just...
That's a beating.
Yeah.
Driving in and out. Yep.
So your voice over a company, that is you started that company and you run it and everything?
Yeah.
What would you tell me and Dustin to do if we wanted to get into doing voiceover work or any...
Have a voice?
Yeah. Besides the main part of having a voice.
I will tell you this, that my voice works against me mostly with...
How's that?
Because most commercial work these days, they don't want an announcer. Everything is non-announcer. So even if I do my best acting job at being the guy next door, my voice is like, no, you don't sound like the guy next door. But you guys do. So you guys could
Chris?
Well, you need coaching.
Okay, where do we go?
Well, there's a website that I can send you to. You just pay me a lot of money, and I tell you what to do and hope for the best.
We gave you a beer.
Yeah, two beers.
We have more local buzz in there.
Yeah.
We can buy more.
There's a place called opencoaches.com. And open go coach, there. Open coaches.
Take me some notes here.
Yep.
Matt's looking for a job.
Now, the coaching is expensive, but it's worth it.
It's like, is it a lot like acting coaching?
Yep.
It's just, can you do it all online?
Skype.
You Skype it?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
One-on-one.
Is trailer work kind of a locked-in deal? Do they have, you know, there's four or five voices you always hear in trailers, movie trailers.
It's tough to get into, but that's what I want to do. Promo, which is TV promo, which I do for HBO there, but I want to do that.
There's a lot of times I think I hear you on that kind of stuff, like the HBO stuff that you did for India. I'm like, man, that sounds like Chris.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I want to do. And trailers is similar to that, but trailers is, it's...
Completely hard.
Three or four guys that do all the work.
Well, the guy that always did the In a World. Passed away, didn't he?
Lon Fontaine, a few years ago. Yeah.
In a world.
Yeah.
In a world. Where you lose memory.
I swear to God, I went to a movie and four of the trailers that
was in
preceded
a world?
That movie started with In a World.
Yeah, that was a hot item in the 90s.
Like, Lord, come on. What about like a Michael Buffer situation where you just, let's get ready to rumble?
He trademarked that, so he makes money anytime somebody uses that. Yeah. So he's got it.
You got any catchphrases that you think would go good on T-shirts and stuff?
I don't. Do you?
There's a few.
That's a pretty good one. I thought that was...
No, I like that.
I got one. My winner that I'm going to make a lot of money on is... Ditch the hero and get with the zero.
No, I think Vanilla Ice did that.
Did he?
Man cool as ice.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I made that up this whole time, and it's been something Vanilla Ice came with?
Yep.
What about Muhammad comes in a bag?
Muhammad comes
now
in a bag?
Chris is going to take it and copyright it because that can be used everywhere.
Yeah. Well, man, it's been great catching up with you again.
It has been awesome. Thank you guys for letting me come hang out.
And if you're serious about that rock and roll metal thing, history thing coming on, we would love that.
We would totally love it.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way for me to do this with you guys from my studio.
There probably is, and we can probably do it now through Skype. One of the things is we love face-to-face
with
people because you get more emotion and you understand, you know, if we're dicking around or whatever. We can all play off each other. But, yeah, we can probably Skype you in from... You're north of the Mason-Dixon line now?
Yeah, almost Oklahoma.
How far is Prosper from Oklahoma?
I don't know. I've never driven
been up there.
Further north.
You never made the drive to Choctaw?
I've never been over the wall.
The
There's
wall.
A wall up there?
Yeah.
That's where Trump's wall is.
Well, yeah.
Keeping the Oklahomians out.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going to wrap it, I want to say our friend this Friday night is doing a show up in Denton at the Denton Arts Council Building, Jessie Fry.
We're going to have her on pretty soon, too.
She's going to be coming on here in a couple of weeks. And I can officially say I'm going on tour with her in March. And I'll let you know those shows on dates probably here in a couple of weeks. But one is in Dallas. I think that's March 24th at Three Links.
Yeah.
So if you're in Dallas or Fort Worth and you want to come over and see me play bass in a pop rock band, it is not a metal band.
You're taking Andrew's place, huh?
I am.
Kicking
him to the curb. It'll be March 24th at Three Links.
That's like like kicking Cliff Burton out.
It is.
It's giving them the boot.
I'm the Jason Newsted of the band.
Jessie Fry. Where'd you say it was at again?
Three Links, right across from Trees.
That's where
the Dallas show is.
No, I'm talking about this weekend.
Oh, this weekend is going to be at the Denton Art Council Building. I think that's what it's called. It's up in Denton. She's doing a real intimate single release party where they're going to do a set.
Yeah.
But it's a stripped down set, and it's going to be a cool deal.
They going to do Boss Bitch?
Beer?
Yeah.
Or
is she done with that?
Not allowed to talk about that right now at this time, sir.
Oh, okay.
There are things brewing, shall we say? Zing.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that when she comes in.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah, she'll be up there, and I think that's all I've got for this weekend.
Well, awesome.
So Friday night, anybody wants to go up there?
What do you got going on, Chris? You got any Meat Hammer shows this weekend?
No Meat Hammer this weekend. I know.
You want to resurrect Meat Hammer?
You should.
I like music, so.
You asked me to play guitar in that thing. Or bass. It was bass.
Your recollection of the past 20 years.
When I was banging chicks.
How many drugs were handed out at the Eagle during this time? Because I think that shorted out a few neurons in Matt's head.
There were drugs.
I think there's some things we can all point to.
You're talking
to
the future mayor of Watauga, sir.
That is. Hey, will you voice over his campaign for mayor of Watauga?
Yeah.
Matt Stubbs.
Give him some bed music, man.
Yeah, what do we got?
Give him some music.
Let's see what we got. Let me
inspirational, about some patriotic sounding stuff.
Here. Do we have...
No Fergie, please.
No, that's not long
too,
enough.
That's too breaking.
Where is the... Do you have it over there?
I don't have the plug, so...
You don't have... Okay, hold on. I can do this.
You're on the fly here.
Vamp, for just a second. Vamp.
Producing on the fly.
I am.
Well,
Matt, trying to find something here.
What's your platform, first off?
I'm going to fix the potholes. Actually, also, I'm going to have Get Drunk Day. We're gonna have a Get Drunk Day. I'm gonna fix the shitholes, and
fixing the potholes.
The potholes, yeah.
He's
but we're calling it Shithole Day.
And he's got a whole plan where you shit in a bag and put it where the pothole is, and that fills the pothole, and then they come through and you
We never got past this part.
You had a whole thing, shithole pothole day.
Okay, so here we go.
All right, and here we go in 3, 2. This is a 41-second soundbite. 3, 2, 1.
Is YouTube on?
Oh, hold there, yeah.
Because I'm going to look at the camera. All right, let's do this.
You ruined it. You ruined it with your... Oh, shit. That's not it.
This is bumper cars. Let's just cut this off.
What?
Chris, it's been good.
Can we cut this entire show off? What's going on? I thought you had a whole thing set out. Was that called campaign? Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Matt Stubbs, a man who wants to make Watauga better by fixing the potholes, by putting shit in a bag.
Why'd she stop it? That was awesome.
What'd you stop it for?
By putting shit in a bag and putting it in the pothole to make Watauga safe for your children. Vote Matt Stubbs. This message paid for by the friends of Matt Stops.
That's awesome, man. Dude, thanks for coming out here and driving all the way through this shit weather, man. It's been awesome.
The weather was
on,
terrible. Yeah, it was good to catch up, and well, we'll have to do this again, and yeah, we'll figure out a way to do it from your, where you can Skype in from your homestead.
I've got some ideas. Yeah.
We'll have our people talk to your people, and we'll link it all up.
Our people.
Our people. All right, we're going to get out of here. Email us, jerryjonestownmassacre@gmail.com or 682-593-JJTM is our number. So, all right, we're out of here. See you later, Chris.
Peace.
Now you know the rest of the story.